Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Welcome to the broadcast. Here's just a taste of what's coming up soon.
And I never saw it happen, but they tell me that every now and then, the body of the decapitated chicken would get away from the chef and take off running around the yard. Now, I'm just going to say this just as plain as I can. If Jesus Christ tells you to go right, you go left, you're a headless chicken. The challenge. Men like a challenge, right? Yeah! Give me a challenge! What is the challenge? Are you raising your kids as Christians? Are you treating your wife right? Oh, this is some straight preaching. We're chowing on some steak now. Pass the steak sauce. Why is it that children of drug abusers grow up to be drug abusers? Why is it that children of alcoholics grow up to be alcoholics? Why is it that children of abusers grow up to be abusers? We emulate what we see. It's time for the cycle to be broken. It's time for the redemption of God to bring a change. You say, I don't know if I have it in me. I know you don't have it in you. The good news is, it's all in Him. He has it in Him. If you get in Him, you get it in you.
All that and more comes from the preaching that was delivered at Christian Apostolic Church on May 17th of 2009. And we've gone back into our archives to bring this out for you. And we're going to play the sermon in its entirety. Some of those clips come from the later part of it. We won't have time in today's broadcast to play all of it, but we'll endeavor to play the continuation of it in future broadcasts. So enjoy the sermon entitled, I Know That I Know.
Glory. Hallelujah. Well, if we went home right now, it's already been worth the trip 1,000 times over. But it's not over yet. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the epistle that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. And I'm looking in Ephesians chapter 1. There is no book like the Bible. It is absolutely astounding that a book that was written to people of an entirely different culture is still alive, living, breathing, pertinent, valid. It is, as the scripture said, God breathed. Every word inspired by the Spirit of God. One of the most profound and glorious books in the Bible is the Epistle to the Ephesians. I want to draw your attention to a unique little tidbit, a little bit of information. After the greeting, the salutation and the greeting, which is verse 1 and 2, verse 3 begins in the Greek. Now, I'm not talking about the English, but in the Greek version, verse 3 begins a very long and glorious single sentence that stretches from verse 3 all the way to verse 14. In the Greek, that is one long, glorious sentence. I don't know. It might be the longest sentence in the Bible. I don't know. But I want to read the end of that long, glorious sentence. Let me draw your attention to verse 13. I want to read 13 and 14, the last two verses of that long sentence in the Greek. And it says this, speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, let's back up to verse 12 so that we can pick up that reference for who the in whom refers to. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom, remember when we say in whom, we're talking about Christ. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Folks, when God fills you with His Spirit, that is a down payment that lets you know you have salvation. Amen. Somebody said, how do you know you're saved? Well, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the down payment. The baptism of the Spirit is the evidence. Then the next question comes, well, how do you know you have the Spirit? Well, the evidence has an evidence. The evidence of the evidence, when you go over to the book of Acts, you read, and the scripture says repeatedly that they knew they had the Holy Ghost because they spoke with tongues. Amen. Now, tongues don't save you. The Holy Ghost does. But the tongues are the evidence of the evidence. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. And so I thought about titling this tonight, The Down Payment, but I think I'm going to title it, I Know That I Know That I Know That I Know. Amen. And for the tape ministry, we can just put, I know that I know. That'd be enough. But amen. Let's pray over the word of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for the baptism of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the evidence of speaking with a language as you give us the words to say. Thank you for salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated in Jesus' name. And the scripture says that we're supposed to be to the praise of His glory. Let's give some praise to His glory. My, I feel the presence of the Lord here tonight. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Hallelujah. It's joy unspeakable. Amen. I mentioned that this is one long sentence. I want to read the whole sentence for you. Of course, I'm reading in the English. I don't know enough Greek to read it in the Greek. And I don't think anybody here knows enough Greek to understand it in the Greek. But scholars who can read and write Greek better than I can read and write English tell us, scholars with linguistic skill tell us, that from verse 3 to verse 14 in the Greek is one long sentence. Now, I checked the punctuation, and in the English, they couldn't pull it off. They had to put some periods in there and find a way to get around it. But let's read this. I'm beginning with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you unabashedly that I'm going to say some awesome things of praise about the humanity of Jesus Christ. Now, we know that according to the Spirit, He's the very God Himself. But according to His humanity, He is the Son of God, and God is His Father. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Isn't that awesome? All spiritual blessings. Amen. It didn't say that you wouldn't go through some trials in the flesh, maybe get sick sometimes, maybe have a young kid pull out in front of you in his car. But in the midst of all of that, we can praise God because He has given us all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Amen. And that harkens back to that message that we preached some time ago about be spiritual. And then it says this, and let me mention that the scriptures are very clear about God's predestination of His chosen people, about His election of His chosen people. The Bible says in more than one place that whom he foreknew, them did he also predestinate. The scripture says that we are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, the foreknowledge of God is greater than we can understand. But who could deny, who could challenge that God, in his foreknowledge, did not know how you would respond to his gospel? Who could challenge that God, in his infinite foreknowledge, did not know in advance what choice you would make in any given situation? And God did not elect or predestinate his church without consulting his foreknowledge. Now, some people preach a false doctrine in which God supposedly looked down through time and handpicked a small number of people to be saved, and their choices had nothing to do with the matter. But to make that doctrine is to make the Bible a lie. The Bible says that he predestinated based on his foreknowledge. His foreknowledge logically preceded his predestinating or elective process. So I want you to bear that in mind as we read these scriptures. On one hand, the Bible very carefully guards that your choices did not earn or garner you salvation, nor did any works that you make earn or garner you salvation. It's the gift of God. It's by God's grace and by God's mercy. Yet at the same time, we know that the Bible does not release a man from his responsibility to give an account for the choices that he makes. Amen. Verse 4 says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In whom? Now remember, who is the in whom referring to? He talked about the beloved. Who is the beloved? That is the humanity of God, the man, Jesus Christ. He is the beloved. Can you say amen? Our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his humanity, is the beloved. Does anybody here tonight love Jesus? He is the beloved. Amen. And because of his love, we are the beloved in him. In whom? Speaking about Christ. In whom we have redemption through his blood, to the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. I love this next verse. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Amen. There is coming a day when every angel, when every saint gone on before us, when every saint left on earth, every Jewish saint, every Christian saint, above and below, amen. Brother Murphy will be in that number. I want to be in that number. Brother Barron wants to be in that number. I want to be in that number when he gathers everything together. How can I know? I've got to know that I'm in that number. I'll tell you how I know. I got the Holy Ghost and I spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. Woo. Hallelujah. Turn and tell your neighbor, say, I know that I know that I know. What kind of church is this? It's a sanctified church. What kind of church is this? It's a Holy Ghost-filled church. What kind of church is it? It's a tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled church. Oh, yes, I do know. I know that I know that I know. Because on October 18th of 1984, he poured his spirit into me and I spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came. Praise God. Well, I was reading the scripture and I got detoured. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Amen. Just before getting up here to preach, I looked up that old song, "It's All in Him." Amen. And there's coming a day when it is going to be revealed to the world that it is all in him. I'm still on that "in whom." And you see a period there at the end of verse 10. But in the Greek it continued on. Verse 11. "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest," that means the down payment, "which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory." Amen. Now it goes something like this. You go to the store. You used to be able to go to the store and put something on layaway. It got to where people weren't doing that anymore. People would rather just buy it and have it now and go into debt. There's a problem with that. One is it requires no self-discipline. The other thing is, by going into debt, it allows you to buy things that probably are not within your reach. Another problem is it instantaneously makes the price of the item deceptive, because you're looking only at the shown purchase price and you're not counting all of the money and interest that you're going to have to pay to get that out. The old timers had it right. You need to buy it on layaway. You need to pay for it a little at a time until you get it paid for, and then go and get it. Now, I've mentioned this before. The Bible has a lot to say against debt. The Bible has a great deal to say against debt. Debt is to be viewed as the enemy. There, people who study finances tell us that there is only one kind of debt in America that is actually a smart decision, and that is a mortgage on a house. The government has structured the laws in your benefit as a homeowner and gives you a tax break on the interest that you pay. And there are a lot of benefits to owning a home. And the home appreciates in value at such a rate that it actually is, in our current culture today, it actually is a wise move to get a mortgage on a house. But that's the only kind of debt that makes sense. Everything else is a bad move. But if imagine that you go to the store and you find something that you really want and you put a down payment on it, and then you begin to pay for that item until it's paid for, and then when it's paid for, you show up and you claim your item. Now, look at this verse 14. It says, "The Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession." Tell your neighbor, say, "That's me. I'm the purchased possession. The church is the purchased possession." Amen. He gave us the Holy Ghost, and that was the down payment. Say, "I'm on layaway down here." Layaway. Amen. Folks, there's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming to claim that which belongs to him. There is coming a day when he is going to complete the purchase process and take his redeemed church unto himself. Amen. Now, in the book of Ephesians, and I mentioned this to you, it is a profound book, but I want to show you there are three powerful analogies in this epistle to the Ephesians. The scripture here, the Apostle Paul likens the church to a body, and Jesus is the head. The scriptures in Ephesians liken the church to a bride, and Jesus is the husband. And the scriptures in Ephesians liken the church to a building, and Jesus is the cornerstone of the foundation of the building. I want to read those scriptures for you in your hearing. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read leading up to this. Amen. And those of you that didn't close your Bibles, you're already there. Let me pick it up with where we left off reading in verse 14. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. Maybe I ought to stop and preach there a little bit. He not only heard of their faith, but he heard of their love for one another. How y'all feeling toward one another? What kind of communications are going back and forth? Let no filthy communication proceed out of your mouth. We're supposed to not only have faith in him, but love for one another. Feeling some toes right now. Yeah. How y'all doing? You loving one another? The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that ye have love one to another. Amen. How y'all doing? Are you loving one another? Everybody okay? Anybody have a fault? Anybody have an anger? Anybody have any kind of problem or offense with somebody? If so, you better get it worked out. Amen. Make sure you're on the right side of the blade when the blade comes down. Amen. He said, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and your love to all the saints. Then he says to them this in verse 16, that he says he ceases not. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's speaking there about his humanity, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now, I want to just draw your attention to this. In verse 13, the scripture says, Holy Spirit, capital S, referring to the Spirit of God. These people already have the Holy Ghost. And the scripture then in verse 17 speaks about the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That is spirit with a small s. Amen. The devil works a great victory when he convinces someone, you have the Holy Ghost, you don't need the church. You have the Holy Ghost, you know it all. You're there, you've arrived. Folks, a newborn baby takes a breath into its lungs and it's alive, but it hasn't learned everything. And the Bible likens a Christian who receives the Holy Ghost to a newborn baby. You have just entered through the gate. Amen. You don't know it all. You haven't arrived. The church is your mama and God is your daddy and you need your mama. You don't know it all. You've just begun your journey. So after you get the Holy Ghost, you need to go on from there and also get the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Talking about something that you can get on top of after you are born again. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and see and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Speaking there about the humanity of Christ again, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Today in our family devotions, which I mentioned this morning, dads, if your children never hear you teach Christianity in your home, you are failing. If you make it to every church service we have, every time the doors are open, and if you shout and run the aisles till you are blue in the face, and your children never hear you teach about Christianity at home, you are failing. If you are a Sunday school teacher or an elder or a deacon or whatever you do for the church, if your children never hear you teach on Christianity at home, you are failing. I'm right square on some toes now. I feel them. In the spirit, there's a crunching sound. Amen. If you say, but I don't feel qualified, the Holy Ghost in you qualifies you. The fact that you are a dad qualifies you. Amen. You say, but I don't feel capable. I don't feel competent. I don't know how to do it. The church is here to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. We are here to help you get equipped to do what you need to do. Amen. Moms, your kids need to hear you teaching. And older women, the younger women here need to hear you teaching. I've talked on this twice in two recent services. The Bible says the older women are supposed to teach the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, how to be successful in being homemakers. Is that happening? I think in some ways it is, but I think we need to expand on it. Amen. But in addition to everything that the children hear their mom saying and everything that the younger women hear the older women saying, dads, your kids need you. The preacher can preach it till he's blue in the face, but it is dad's place. It's mom's place and dad's place to evangelize and disciple those kids. In our family devotions today, which I'm just going to go ahead and tell you this. I don't mean to make anybody drool or anything, but We got out church this morning, or right around noontime, and there was a discussion in the parking lot. Some folks were going to this restaurant or that restaurant, and I just said to my wife, honey, I just feel like just going home and cooking. And so we got in the van, and we turned the radio on and caught the last 2 minutes of the radio broadcast. And the kids were just partying, and I was in the front of the van saying, kids, daddy's on the radio. They were like, ah. I feel so famous. They were like, what's that? So we went home and we're scrounging around there. And I had in mind that we would do a breakfast supper kind of a lunch. And we were, you know, I was thinking maybe pancakes and eggs and something. And on the way home, I said, honey, we got any sausage? And she said, no, we got a little bit of lunch meat. And I thought, well, we can fry that up. And we got home, and she said, wait. She said, I got this hamburger that I had browned the other day. I used half of it in the meal and got the other half left. And she said, how about hamburger gravy? And I said, oh, now we're talking. And I mean, my wife and I, it was like a team. I was on one side of the stove, and she was on the other side of the stove. And we were just whomping on it. I mean, we just knocked out the most awesome breakfast supper. Just a few. I bet from the time we got home till the time we ate was only 25 minutes. And we had scrambled eggs cooked light and fluffy. We had biscuits cooked tall and delicious. We had hamburger gravy. We had fried potatoes with onions and peppers in them. And we sat down, and that meal was just, oh, it was good. Now watch this now. Watch this now. We're working together and we're getting the job done and we sit down and we're all sitting there at the family table. Let me say that again. We're all as a family sitting together at the table. Amen. America doesn't do that anymore, but America's making a mistake. We're all sitting together at the family table. And the kids are eating good food, and they're singing our praises, and their tummies are full, and they're feeling good. That's the time to teach them about God. That's the time. See, our problem is we want to talk to the kid at Sunday school as a Sunday school teacher to a child when his tummy is empty and he's grumpy and frustrated.
Well, speaking of the right time, we're out of time, and I hope you'll join us next time for a continuation of this sermon entitled, I Know That I Know. God bless you, in Jesus' name is our prayer.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.